Welcome to episode 46 of the Iron Agenda, the podcast about War Machine, or whatever else is on our minds. Hey everybody, and welcome to the Iron Agenda, the podcast that crit consumes Minion Warlocks. I'm Josh.
I'm Dave.
I'm Stu.
Not wrong eye, though.
Correct, because he's not small-based.
Yep.
Good point.
So our podcast is only successful 75% of the time.
That's a pretty good record, though.
It is. Well, if we boost, it's 44% of the time, 75% of the time.
That's still pretty good. I mean, it's less than 75, but, you know.
Well, according to Meatloaf, I mean, 2 out of 3 ain't bad. So, I mean, we're clearly doing better than that average.
Baby, we can talk all night. But that ain't getting us nowhere.
Actually, 44% of 75% is something like 30%, which is not very good at all.
Well, statistically, a third is pretty good. I know the snow is piling up outside.
For certain definitions of pretty good, I'll give you that one.
I wish you wouldn't make me leave here.
I wish you wouldn't do a lot of things.
I'm sorry, I don't listen to Meatloaf.
I'm waxing lyrical here, and you guys are talking about math.
I mean, you guys.
Okay, so topic time.
Right.
We got no news today, so yay.
That's right, no news is good news.
Sure.
Well, what kind of good news were you looking for?
I don't know. Good news bears. Like Brun or Lug. Whichever one's the bear. Lug.
Lug is the bear.
That's right. So if you haven't turned off your iPod yet, you know we're talking about the Minion Warlocks.
Right, yes.
And their beast. Let's see, we've seen them in the past couple of days, actually. And actually, it's funny that we even had this topic planned for this week, because Starscream Killer, I think, on the boards, he asked if we were going to talk about it. And we'd already had it in the works, because that was funny. And actually, a long time ago, somebody had suggested it as a topic. So we finally got around to it today.
Yeah, now that they're all out and we've been able to see them in action a little bit more, it gives us a little bit more to talk about.
Right, because Wrong Eye and Snapjaw just came out a week or two ago, I think.
Yeah, I think it was a week ago, maybe.
Could be. I did not pick him up.
I made sure to pick him up straight away, but then also straight away also give Snapjaw to Mike, because he was gap-tacular.
Oh, is he a bad fit?
Oh, it's not the Cawdor gap, it's the Gator gap from now on.
Wow.
It's bad.
I see. But you already had Wrong Eye painted, did you not?
Yeah, I got Wrong Eye out there, and I was actually painting it and describing this, the system to my father about what I was doing lately. And as I was describing, well, it's this Gator man who's also a voodoo shaman who has a top hat, a little bird, a bottle of booze, and a pocket watch. I realized this is the most awesome thing I've ever painted.
He wins on so many levels.
Oh, I can't even begin to describe them all, to enumerate upon them.
Well, let's start with Brun and Lug, though, because they are first in the book. And okay. I have a book to reference in front of me, and I don't want to be flipping back and forth.
Right.
So because I'm lazy, let's start with the bear.
That's right. He's actually on top of my stack of cards, so I'm down with that.
He's
Stu,
the bar.
Are you good with the bear?
Absolutely.
Awesome.
Let's golden compass this up.
All right. Panzer Bjorn, or whatever they're called.
Yeah. You know, there's actually...
You know, I never saw the movie, so I don't know.
Me either.
There's actually a little bit of a contention on whether Lug should be painted as a panda bear, a Pooh bear, or the other one.
Care Bear.
Polar Bear.
Oh, Care Bear would be hilarious. Like stencil like a rainbow on his chest.
Yeah, there you go. Or
I'm
heart
Friendship
or whatever.
Bear.
There you go. Although he's not really that friendly.
Care Bear, stare.
Actually, it's funny. I think in the you mentioned Friendship Bear, because in the fluff it describes him as not being a mean-spirited beast at all. He plays with the things he's killing. He thinks he's having fun. If you haven't read it, it's pretty funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, the little quote says that bar is stupid deadly. I can't tell when it wants to play or kill.
Yeah. But he is pretty pretty wicked. I mean, I used him in our game today, and we'll talk about the games we played. But, once you get him into combat, he can deal it out. He has no ranged attacks at all, except maybe a throw or something, if you want to count that. But you had Brian, I think, in his face and just ripped him to shreds and only left him with a few boxes. So he holds up pretty much, but pretty well.
Yeah,
who
would
do a throw with him? He's got rat one.
Yeah, that was me before I looked at the card.
Well, you know, I think that they are, paws down, the best pair.
Good.
You like that?
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. I mean, before we get into too much specifics, one of the big drawbacks of the lesser minions, or the lesser warlocks and their beasts, is when the lesser warlock dies, we're going to use the term warlock. They're not actually warlocks.
Right.
They're solos. We're abbreviating.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, when the warlock dies, the beast goes wild.
Right.
So really... The warlock is the weak spot of the pair, pretty
Absolutely.
Significantly. On top of that, most of these war beasts only have one weapon, which makes them very fury inefficient.
True.
So you've got the two weaknesses in general of the lesser minion warlocks: shortages of attacks and a weak warcaster that can get killed and wiped him out. Lun and Brug make up for both of these.
That's true.
Lug has two attacks.
Mm-hmm.
He can flank with Lug if he's there, with Brunn if he's there. On top of that, Brunn's spell, Stonehold, is mm-hmm. fantastic.
Right, and vice versa, because Brunn can actually flank for, well, they flank for each other, essentially. So, yeah, and I used that spell, Stonehold, pretty much through the whole game. I cast it once and upkept it until he died.
Mm-hmm.
And that means every time you attack him or every time he's dealt damage, it's one fewer die. But it has to be damage from an attack. But still, I mean, if you have to boost to even potentially damage him, then that's more fury that you're having to expend and you know, whatnot. That one less die is huge.
Yeah.
And it dealt kept him alive probably an attack or two more than he otherwise would have dealt with.
Definitely.
And taking the wind out of a sails of, like, a weapon master or something is pretty big.
Mm-hmm.
More so than, I mean, that easily could potentially be worth more than a static bonus like an arcane shield is.
On average, it is roughly arcane shield, but yeah, I mean,
right.
Depending on how lucky your opponent is, that could be even...
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, but still, that's just... I hate that spell.
Oh, yeah, it was kind of a pain. I mean, but it does take two of his fury to cast. Now, of course, he can upkeep it for the rest of the game, but that means he's essentially a two fury warlock. And,
but he's got no offensive spells he doesn't need to cast.
Sure. I mean, in melee, he's going to dish out some pain. And whenever he's in base-to-base with Lug, and if that Animus is used, then they're not going to be knocked down. And it's a pretty stable little duo.
It's a spell, not an Animus. Stronghold is his spell.
Oh, I'm sorry. The non-knockdown is thing is also part of his Animus. I didn't even... Or part of a spell. I didn't even use his Animus.
Mm-hmm.
Which lets you knock down or push something away with the model using.
Yeah, and the fact that he can cast it on himself for one is great.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, and it is because he's
a mat 7,
right?
So he casts it on himself, boosts to hit. Mm-hmm. He's going to knock something down, and then Lug's going to walk over and trash it.
Flanking.
Yeah, exactly. But he's not going to have to roll to hit, and he's going to get that extra die of damage. You're talking
right.
Two, POW 16, 3 dice damage rolls.
Mm-hmm.
Yay.
Yeah.
Well, and that could be boosted.
Right. Between that and the throwing, they're a knockdown machine.
Uh-huh.
I mean, as we saw in our game, I was trying to knock down as much stuff as I could, and I was knocking down quite a few things.
Mm-hmm. And I think they're also really good for the Ruliks.
Oh, true. Absolutely. I mean, we've seen, I think whenever we talked with Relazine, we touched on it, because I don't know if he was out yet. Maybe he was. But how you can forgo a driller to pitch Gorton, for example, and just throw him with a bear.
Mm-hmm.
So it's more efficient for your Warlock or Warcaster, whatever you happen to take.
I think that's great that he actually has two claws, too. I would like to see that on both the other ones. Just to have the ability to throw would be nice.
I would have expected the Snapjaw, rather, to have two, just, you know, before he came out. I sort of expected him to, but he didn't.
He would be the one I could buy not having it the most, because he's got that big maw. I mean, and all the gators attack with their jaws.
True. I mean, the only other option, though, is Brian, because Scarif isn't going to throw anything.
When I said the other two, I meant mm-hmm. other than Scarif, obviously, because he has no arms. But I think the fact that if Brian had two fists, he would be much better.
Oh, I agree.
But we can get to there eventually. But, yeah, I mean, you mentioned the lifeblood, the life bond. You know, Brian is still a Pathfinder, so he mm-hmm. can go wherever he wants.
And Lug's all terrain.
Yep.
So they're very maneuverable on top of that. But even beyond that...
I do agree that the minion warlocks are kind of the weak link, but I think much like the entire game of Hordes, they're only the weak link if they kind of get caught with their pants down, because they still have damage transference. And honestly, those character warbeasts have a lot of damage circles in them.
Yeah, but most of the time, your warbeasts are going to be pushed because you're going to want them doing stuff. And your warlock is going to have to go empty in order to accommodate that, or else you're risking frenzy.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, that's one of the big problems. I mean, even like Rorsch and Brine, we'll get to them in a second, but Rorsch is a 3 fury warlock. Brine can have 4 fury.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you've got Brine in your list and you want him to kill something, you're going to need... usually all 4 fury, which means he's already going to risk transferring next turn. And even if you don't dump all of your fury off of Rorsch, he can't transfer to a beast that's full anyway.
Yeah.
Right.
So, I mean, yes, coming up field and getting to the fight, sure, but it's unless you're the stud known as Brunn, they can hold up with Stonehold. You've got a decent chance of getting killed the next turn, because you've got to be close too.
With this particular pair, though, actually, Brunn has a little bit of an advantage in that he can freely dispense with all of his fury and still transfer freely to the bear if they're in base to base.
Yep.
So, and now, granted, the bear still has one more fury than he does, so there's still that chance, albeit very small, that he's going to frenzy. You can freely keep him base to base and then, you know, not have to worry about transfers, at least spending for transfers. All in all, I think they're just a great little package. I might consider taking these guys quite often. I don't think I would probably take more than one minion warlock and beast per game. You know, in the game we played today, we took two each just so we'd have all of them covered. But
right.
Spending one, I could see, because it's a heavy and you're going to spend about that much anyway.
Yeah, depending on your force, I think you could go more, but usually I think one might is mm-hmm. the practical limit in the army.
Right. Given that a lot of times, if you want to put the beast up front to do something, you oftentimes have to move the warlock first just to make sure they're in range, because we're talking about low fury stats. Mm-hmm. You have to be very careful about how you're positioning, because you might accidentally leave that warlock open mm-hmm. to die the next turn.
Yep.
So
moving on to the next one, how about Dalia and Scarith?
You got them in front of there, Stu. What do you think?
They're not bad. I think they're a fantastic example of what you're talking about with the minion being a weak link here. Dalia is a frail little thing. She's defense 16, which is actually pretty remarkable, but she's only armor 11, and unlike every other minion warlock, only has 8 damage boxes. Everyone else tends to have 10. She's kind of interesting in that she can be used for the Retribution, but beyond that, I mean, there's nothing really kind of crazy about. She can work for the Circle and the Trolls. She clearly doesn't want to work with anybody who's, you know, kind of evil or evil-ish. I think she's actually less impressive, and it's more all about the snake on this one, the Tatzelworm. Both Brug and Lun, or...
Lug and Brun.
The bear and the dwarf.
Yeah.
bring about a, you know, kind of an interesting duo in that each of them are kind of...
They are the BLT. They're the Brun and Lug team.
Hmm.
The BLT, like the sandwich.
Well, yeah. You're taking some the wind out of Rorsch and Brine sales there with the bacon and the BLT.
They're R&B.
Oh, there you go. Okay, I'll buy that.
So, we've got R&B, Ride the Snake, oh, BLT, okay. And...
Snapjaw, S&W, flip it upside down, you got S&M.
Well, I was going to say something like pair of shoes.
And a belt, suitcase. Yeah.
Luggage.
Anyway, sorry, Scarith.
But Scarith really is, I mean, pretty neat. The acid spray range attack he has gives corrosion, which is actually pretty interesting. And it's definitely a unique way for the armies that she can work with to actually bring corrosion about in a list. That's usually restricted to just kind of more or less just Crick's armies more than anything else. But the ability for other factions to bring that about is pretty neat. In my opinion, at least. But, of course, everyone remembers about him is crit consume. Where if he hits a critical on an attack roll against a small-based non-warlock or warcaster model, it is just removed from play.
Shredders.
Yep, I went after a shredder today and it didn't work out.
Yeah, you missed on the first attack, but you rolled doubles on...
Right.
Then you attacked with your second attack, bought and boosted, and then killed him outright in damage.
Yeah. But it's also important to note that the minion warlocks, as we said earlier, as you said earlier, Dave, they're not warlocks. They're actually solos, and they fit that description. So if you see another minion warlock across the table, you can crit consume it.
Yep. But Scarith, you know, I think that he has some other neat little tricks, too. I like Serpent Strike, which is basically unlimited defensive strikes without the bonuses.
Right.
Assuming that you're missed, but...
Right, it's so more like it's a riposte. Yeah.
So basically it gives him riposte, which is nice. I like the fact that it has reach and paralytic venom.
Mm-hmm.
It, like we were talking about last week with Vyros, when you charge into my Reckoner, put the spell on that couldn't move,
right.
Or had to sacrifice something,
right.
And then hit him with reach, my Reckoner couldn't retaliate. Mm-hmm. You can do the same thing with Scarith if you're fighting something without reach.
Right.
Walk in, bite it from reach, and it can't come at you because mm-hmm. paralyzing venom says you have to sacrifice your movement.
Right.
It's also interesting to note that he's also got Bounding Leap, which adds a lot of extra mobility to Scarith. He's probably actually more in danger than most other minion warbeasts to actually be leaving his warlock's control area.
Yeah, you do have to. That's something I was going to mention. You know, she's pretty frail, as you said earlier, Stu. And to keep him in her 8-inch command or control area, she's got to probably run to wherever he needs to be if he's going to do that full 6-move, 5-leap. So you got to be really careful. And if you leave her exposed, she can go down really easily.
Yep.
She's only 11 armor.
Yep.
So blast damage will take her out.
But I like him for the Retribution. I mentioned this last episode when we did our Retribution.
Yeah, that would have been last episode.
I think they fit because, again, they can help alleviate some of the focus issues that we've seen so far.
Sure.
Even if that might not be a theme throughout the Retribution, from what we've seen, there are a lot of things they want to do with their focus.
Oh, yeah.
And she puts another boostable high power attack on the mm-hmm. table. That doesn't have to be limited by the Warcaster's focus.
And a spray to boot.
And a spray.
I mean, that's never bad.
No. I mean, and her spells, she's got that one that prohibits Commands.
Yeah, -2 command and no orders to the things in her controller. And fortunately, it doesn't affect units, but that's Harmonious or Haunting Melody.
Might be handy to scare something away.
True, yeah.
Because especially Mark II, if it's kept the same way, because there's no higher command from a leader, it's just -2 if you're out of range.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Basically, if you can get that on one model and then put a terrific entity on that.
Uh-huh.
You got a chance to scare it away.
Absolutely.
Assuming it doesn't change.
Yeah.
Enchanting Rhythm is really only good against hordes.
Yeah, but Torpor, you know.
It's basically stationary.
It's
essentially.
Stall.
Well,
or not,
yeah.
I'm sorry, Stall. Thank you.
Stall, yeah. Four beast rather than Jack. But yeah, she has to hit, but she's a 4, so if you got something that's, well, even on a higher armor, if you boost, you still might have a good chance of hitting it.
Well, even against Legion Beasts, they're only a 14 defense.
Yeah,
boosting, on average, she's going to hit them, and now all of a sudden, everything else can hit them without boosting.
Right, and it's a 10-inch range, which is really, really good for something like that.
Especially as first feral as she is.
Absolutely.
Yep. But I think they're okay. I think that the fact that he only has one attack is limiting, but the spray kind of makes up for it.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like the Carnivian. You don't spray with him much. You only spray when you can't get where you really want to go.
Right.
And when you can, I mean, when you do that, it can make a big difference.
Mm-hmm.
And his rat for a spray attack is actually fairly decent at a 5.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, he's only got one melee attack, but that P+16 is pretty nice.
Also important to keep in mind that he's Serpentine, I think.
Yeah.
So like the Angelius, no slamming, no, what else can
trample.
He do? Trample, no trample, no slamming.
He cannot make slam or trample power attacks.
Right. Still charged,
though. Which is a bit of a limitation.
It is.
And it's not as a big deal on the Angelius because you don't care usually.
You're doing something else with him.
But Scareth is a little bit more of a utility beast.
He is.
And I think that it's a bigger hit for him than it is Angelius.
Yeah, although he's still got a lot going for him.
He does. But... he does.
And he's also a defense 14, which for a heavy war beast is actually pretty big.
Yes.
That's a very small club.
Yeah. I remember somebody a long time ago, I guess when these guys first started coming out, they compared them to actually being light beasts in heavy chassis or something like that, you know?
Yeah, a little bit. So that's Scareth.
Mm-hmm.
What would you see? I mean, what armies do you see taking them with?
I could see taking them in circle, just like run and lug. Although, again, I probably would take one or the other. Probably wouldn't take both. I see him more as a backup piece. I certainly wouldn't send him in as the spearhead of an attack. Maybe a flanking piece or a backup piece as a second wave.
I think you could send BLT in.
First, you mean?
Yeah.
Do a little knockdown and then have him deal it?
Knockdown, the fact that he's got 2 attacks, he could do more to kind of wreck lines, or he could get in there and throw something.
Oh, sure.
And that gives him a flexibility that the Tatzelworm does not have.
Yeah, and if you do want to bring both these guys, they could act as a small tag team, like we were saying, Lug and Brun, knock stuff down, and then you won't have to worry about boosting anything to hit with Scareth. I mean, if you have a particularly strong small base model that you could crits consume but couldn't kill in one hit, if you can knock it down, then you'll have a much better chance of crit consuming it,
mm-hmm.
you know, depending on what it is.
Yeah.
Potentially a Minion Warlock.
On top of that, going backwards a little bit, if you're running a shooty army, London Brug fit well, because if they can knock something down, it's no longer engaged, it doesn't suffer the end melee penalties.
Right.
So you can shoot the crap out of it with its low defense.
Yeah. I mean, it's knockdown. What more do you have to say? It's so powerful.
Right.
So such a key thing in the game, and they can dish it out in spades.
I would love if I could take these guys to Legion. I mean, that would be fantastic.
You finally get your 2 hands.
Yeah. Well, that too. But, I mean, just being able to knock something down and shooting it would be great.
Right, right.
So the next ones are R&B, Rorsch and Brine. I actually won these guys at Food Machine last year.
Oh, that's right, you did.
Yep. I think you finished painting them.
I was about to say, how's Brine doing?
Yeah. They're okay. I'm kind of disappointed that Brine only has the one attack. That's a pretty big limitation on him.
Mm-hmm.
Rorsch is interesting. I mean, he's got basically many inhospitable ground. It's only 3 inches of him, though. It's not like it's not even his control radius, which is 6.
Right.
But so he can do that, which is it can protect him from charges.
Mm-hmm.
And it used to be really good against the Scorn. Not anymore because they ignore stuff now.
Right.
But I played Rorsch and Brine against Scorn in a tournament. And basically they were able to hold a flank in one of the steamroller scenarios by throwing a pigpen and preventing charges, therefore preventing them from killing Brine.
Sure.
His diversionary tactic has been very handy.
Yeah, I've seen you use that a couple times. Almost today, you almost won the game today by using that. That extra movement is crazy. And moving outside of your turn, and then all of a sudden you're in a back arc, for example, like you saw.
I've used it against Scorn. I dropped it on Rorsch, moved Brine forward, and then trampled over his Praetorians because I got him basically close enough so that he could get there.
Right.
And then in your game, basically he was back there by Kruger and a bunch of other stuff, but there was like a druid in the way. And so Rorsch went up, dropped it, killed the druid, and then Rorsch and Brian both walked into Kruger's back arc.
Mm-hmm.
And then Brian activated and was able to get backstrike bonuses,
right?
But didn't hit. Rolled like crap.
Didn't work, but still, I mean, that's the kind of move that you need to set up kills like that, and they do it just great.
Yep, it's like Slipstream, only in some ways better because they move their full speed.
Mm-hmm.
There's no wings. It's not a placement, though.
Right, but Brian has to be caught in the AoE. Is that how it works?
Yep.
That is centered on Rorsch, I think.
Yes, it's a 4-inch center on Rorsch, and one thing to keep in mind is it damages everyone that's not them, so it will hit friendly models. Like, I had to be careful with my swordsman there to make sure I didn't hit them.
Right.
So it's not an auto by any stretch of imagination. Rorsch also has Hog Wild, so he can shoot and then walk.
Like a feral brigand.
Like a brigand. On top of that, he has his lever action rifle as rapid fire. So if he hits, he makes another shot. Mm-hmm. So he could theoretically hit twice and then walk and hit a melee, make a melee
What's
attack.
What's the POW on that?
It's all 11. Oh, I'm sorry, 12. 12 on the rifle.
That's pretty good.
Now, his dynamite's also a POW 12 AoE 4,
mm-hmm.
but I didn't really have a use for it.
What's the range on that?
6.
Yeah, the AoEs at that short of a range are sometimes difficult to use.
I mean, it's 6 inches. I'm almost more interested to walk him up 5, drop it on himself, and get some extra movement and blast damage out of it. And it's the same POW as the gun, so it's not like you're going for the direct hit.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you want the direct hit, shoot him with a gun and then hope for a second shot.
Right, right.
But they're also only 100, so they're relatively cheap.
Are they the cheapest ones?
I think so. And they also only have 8 wounds, not just Scarith and Dahlia. So, you know, Brian's a little frail.
His armor is definitely higher. He's, what, a 15 armor?
He's a 15.
Versus 11, yep. Yeah.
Oh, well, yeah, that's
right.
Makes a huge difference. I wasn't discounting the fact that he was...
But even 15, it's not that high in a lot of cases.
How many times did you hit him and do no damage?
Well, yeah, what was I hitting with, though? I don't know. But I rolled 15 quite a bit.
Elemental bolts.
Oh.
I think so.
And it's only a POW 10.
So, yeah. You threw Brian on him, took him down to one wound, and he survived...
Lightning, too.
3 direct hits, and then you snake-eyed to hit him twice.
Shot him in the face with... Or didn't hit him in the face with lightning.
I think it's interesting that they're both 8 because they're almost the exact opposite of Dahlia and Scarith, in that, you know, Rorsch is definitely the more interesting of the two. I mean, the biggest thing I see about Brian, or at least the most interesting thing I find about him, is the animus. Everything else about him is kind of like, I don't know.
Brian is cool. He's got some stuff going for him, but mostly it's passive. Rorsch has a lot of things he can choose to do. Brian just has stuff affect him through play. The animus you mentioned basically is a additional die on attack rolls against living models, but it costs 2. The only real benefit of it as far as boosting goes is if he spends all 4 of his fury, he can cast it and then make 3 attacks, boosting the hit on all of them. So he does get 1 virtual extra boost out of it if he wants to go all out.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to cast it if you're only making 1 attack usually. But the other thing is, if he kills a living model, is that right? Yes. If a living model is destroyed by it, it's removed from play and he gains D3. So basically he eats them. He more or less gains snacking that the...
Yep, I think so, yeah.
So that's okay. He's got pain response like the Gorax.
Mm-hmm. So +2 to damage rolls, melee damage rolls.
Yes,
if he's got damage on all aspects.
He becomes a 19.
That's pretty significant.
On his gore. It is.
It's only the 1 attack, but 19, that's a hard hit.
Yeah, he has bacon.
I was about to say, he has a couple of bullies, including bacon, that don't trigger until he's died.
And the thing is, they only really make a difference if he dies first.
Right.
Which is the tough part.
Yeah, so it's a low consolation prize kind of thing.
Bacon says that when he's finally destroyed any living war beast within base-to-base contact, heals D6. They eat him. That's hilarious.
It's hilarious, but I hate that because I feel like you're rewarding your opponent for doing what he's supposed to do.
No, well, because when you pig-headed says when he takes enough damage to be destroyed, he sticks around.
Right.
So he sticks around, and then on your turn,
and then have
you just walk him away because he can't take any more damage.
Have his ass book
and he walks to your own guys. Yeah. Exactly.
I see.
Or you can possibly get up, have him do one last attack, and then position your guys to eat him.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. It forces you to group your beasts together where you might not want to.
He has relentless charge, so you can go over obstacles, which is cool. I didn't need to charge for distance.
Oh, right. But yeah, true.
His bond is that... we actually didn't mention the bonds on the other people.
Yeah, we probably should.
His bond is that anyone that Rorsch hits, he can charge or slam for free. And he has crit knockdown on the gore, which is okay, but not too often. We'll go back and hit the Warbeast bonds real quick. Scarith. Basically, you can direct his frenzies.
Yeah, or sack his activate. Or it's a friendly beast, I believe.
Yeah.
She can cause friendly beasts to sack their activations.
Which is an interesting little frenzy.
If they frenzy.
But she can basically, she's a shepherd for Scarith.
Right. For Lug and Brun, Their life bond that we talked about is the base-to-base transferring with no fury. And then, but the actual Warby spawn gives the +2 threshold. Do they all give +2 thresholds?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. So +2 threshold here, there, and then essentially guard dog. So extra defense versus melee attacks and no free strikes while within 3 of the beast.
Yeah. Which is actually really cool. Again, adding to Brun's survivability.
Yeah, and no backstrikes too.
Yeah. I mean, that's phenomenal. Anyway, that's Brian. He suffers from only one attack. Even if he costed another 10 points, I think that it would be worth it. I would love 2 POW 15 fists. With everything else that Brian can do for him. I mean, yeah, okay, Legion, sure, I would really love this. But just in general, for everything that Rorsch can do for Brian, giving him extra movement and stuff like that, the ability to throw stuff and have 2 attacks would be great.
Did we mention their bond? What was their bond?
Their bond is that Brian can charge or slam anyone Rorsch hits.
Ah.
This is like Lilith's bow.
Okay. Sure.
You know, I've always found it kind of funny that it works like that in Hordes, where there are creatures with fists that clearly aren't getting them as weapon systems, whereas every jack, regardless of what it's got, has got two kinds of attacks at least.
Yeah, that's true. The final pair, we've got Wrong Eye and Snapjaw.
Yes. How did you like these guys? I mean, I was in the receiving end, but they seem pretty cool.
They're okay. Wrong Eye got taken down a little bit earlier than I needed him to. I think if you didn't have the blood trackers, they would have done a little bit more. But the fact that if something's damaged, Snapjaw can charge it for free.
He took down a fresh Shadowhorn.
He did.
In one activation.
Well, it wasn't fresh. Lilith shot it once.
Okay, he had 1 point of damage, so that he could charge for free.
Exactly. I mean, that's exactly what I was trying to do.
At plus 5, right?
Right.
Yeah, which that's not bad.
You got to be careful of getting out of your area, your radius.
Sure.
But his spells, Voodoo Doll is great. I took out Megala's Spirit one turn, prevent it from wreck and stuff.
That is
it. Rolled enough to do it anyway.
Right. That's any beast, right? Not just living.
Yes.
Okay, good. So we did do it right.
Crazy Eye is kind of cool. It's like Scramble, basically, for a war beast. It moves on the scatter template up to its speed in inches, but it doesn't do the whole knockdown thing.
Right.
The problem is, though, it's random movement.
Yeah.
And it might go somewhere you don't want it to or don't need it to.
Right.
So, I mean, the good thing is it stays facing the direction it walked, so you could potentially avoid charges or something like that, but it's half his fury. He's going to have to boost a hit because he's a fury 4, so he's probably going to be spending 3 to do it, and that's a big risk. I mean, on Haley casting Scramble, she still has fury focus left to do other things.
Right.
If he casts Crazy Eye, he pretty much, that's all he's doing. But he has 2 attacks. He's got reach on his hook. It can draw him in, which is kind of cool.
It might be the exact same ability the bog trucks have, I think. Can they reel stuff in?
No, they can't.
Really?
So.
Oh, interesting.
But they're pretty cool. They're also amphibian, but
right. You
don't see water on tables too much.
Well, no, but they got submerged and used it once or twice, I think.
I did because you were playing Kruger and I didn't want them to get targeted by lightning.
Right.
Trying to limit where lightning could go.
Mm-hmm.
Usually you had better places to put it, but just to be careful. You also couldn't ambuscade them when I did that.
True.
The one turn that I lost, actually Wrong Eyes, because you ambuscade him because I couldn't afford to submerge because I had to lock down the spirit on the megalith.
Right, right.
So it was kind of a trade at that point. You just can't do everything with him. But yeah, their Animus 2 submerge is basically invisibility without the defense and melee bonus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, you can't target them with ranger and magic attacks.
And it costs 2 and range self. Yeah,
so they waltz up the field and usually pretty good.
Yeah, but they're limited to speed of 5 when they do that. Yeah,
but they also still block line of sight at the same time, don't they?
Well, they could run, I'm sorry. Or charge, not run.
True.
Or trample or something like that.
Right, right.
But yeah, they still block line of sight.
So that's actually interesting because invisibility you see right through them. So they can still, it's no shooting in your jacks, like in Protectorate or something.
Yep. You know, Snapshaw's got hunger motivated, which we talked about, the extra charge distance if something's, and charging for free if something's hurt. It can also charge small and medium-based living miles for free anyway.
Oh, I did not realize
that. Because hunger motivated.
I see. Does he heal or anything when he eats? You think that'd be part of it?
When he destroys a living model with a melee attack in Wrong Eye's control area, their bond lets him heal D3. Either one.
Right, right.
He can eat and it heals Wrong Eye.
He just throws it over shoulder to him.
Yeah, I guess, yeah. And then his last is he's got critical death roll on his bite.
That is really cool. Yes. That's a good fluffy ability.
Extra die damage and knockdown, which is pretty cool.
It is.
And he's a POW 16, so that's good. Mm-hmm. He does have a tail as well, which is 14, and I think that extra attack is great.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
I mean, Brian could have benefited from something like that. Mm-hmm. It's just he has an extra attack, and that's, your POW 14, not great against other heavies, but, you know, hey, that's another trooper you can kill if you get swarmed. you know, that kind of stuff.
Right.
He's decent. Again, they're kind of like Roshan Bryan, where a lot of the cool stuff is on Wrong Eye.
Yeah. And him being a medium base doesn't help either. I mean, you can't. It's harder to screen him unless you have him behind his beast. Or just in general, medium bases aren't necessarily the most defensive types of models.
Yeah, you're pretty much limited to throwing some merge as your defensive buff.
Because yeah,
most defense buffs that the factions have don't all work for him. Like, I can't tenacity him or anything like that.
Right, right.
It's actually kind of interesting that Wrong Eye does not get a tail slap as well, because any basic Gator Man does.
It's that trench coat. It's too big and it limits mobility.
James and I have come to the conclusion that it's clearly the coat and the watch, and maybe it's just the booze. I don't know. Maybe it throws balance off.
Yeah.
It'll scare his bird away if he spins around too much.
So, in general, what do you guys think about the Lesser Warlocks as far as their like tactical place in an army?
I think, like I was saying earlier, I might consider taking one somewhat regularly. Maybe every other game, every third game or something. I think they have a place. I don't think that they're just totally squishable. I think they deal out lots of damage, or depending on which one it is, it's either a good utility, a good backup piece, or a good flanking piece even. I think they have a good place.
I really like them because they're, I mean, visually they're interesting. Fluff-wise, they're interesting. I mean, there are people who just like them because they just like the concept of either a chick and a giant snake.
It's the traditional snake charmer idea.
Yeah, absolutely.
Or, you know, if they just like crazy gator bayou shenanigans, you know, that's great. I'm a fan of that. Well, I kept trying wanting to do a Wrong Eye in like a Cajun accent all day.
Oh yeah, definitely.
I hit you with this, I guarantee. That's probably a terrible accent. But
you should have had an ability called like gumbo or something like that.
That should have been the rule to let them get them snacking. But it's just gumbo. But I mean, I think
what's in the gumbo was not in the gumbo.
It'd be a shorter list. I don't think that they're terribly meta changing in that. Oh wow! So now you've got to really pick up this piece in order to make sure that you keep these at a highly competitive level. In fact, actually, I think quite honestly, they take away from synergy a lot. Because, well, and maybe this is just me, because I'm playing Scorn, and Scorn are notorious for not being able to work with minions very well. But, I mean, it's not that they don't earn their points or anything, it's just they don't work within the confines of the rest of the army.
And sometimes, though, that's a good thing. I think it can be, because if your army's built to do synergize in one way really well, they kind of provide a little bit of flexibility in dealing with some other issues.
They give you some diversity. And if one of those cards falls out, your entire house cards won't necessarily drop.
I like them a lot in scenario-based play, be that Steamroller or scenarios. I mean, as a Legion player, if I play any like the boat-type stuff or anything with water, like some of the League seasons had, man, a flanking force of Wrong Eye, Snapjaw, and Gatorman, or maybe even Bogtrogs. I mean, basically, I have a huge advantage over my opponent if I take that list, being I can go on parts of the table they can't.
Yeah.
Exactly.
On top of that, I mean, just playing Roshan Bryan in his regular Steamroller, it is a hard-hitting heavy and a boostable gun, which you can put in a flank away from your Warlock to hold or contest points.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that can be big if you can keep him alive.
I think people will, in general, either A, recognize that there's something they have to deal with, and they will divert for points to handle them, or they won't think they're a big deal, and then you just got an advantage, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So either way, I think they're worth what you're spending, I think, in most cases.
Now, in general, I'm sorry, Stu, you say something?
Oh, I was just going to say, I just really like them because yesterday I used Praetorians with the precision strike ability to just do one point real quickly. You know, I would just have them go up and just, you know, do one point to an Exemplar Avenger, as it was, who was already mad. So it was Armor 19, like, I don't care, here's one point. And then I would just, you know, go get him!
Yeah.
And Snapjaw just went right at him and just completely destroyed him.
So did anything cool happen in the game where in any of the games you used him? Anything come up? Good crit death roll or anything?
I did get crit death roll, but I also killed him outright.
Oh.
So it didn't really matter much. Because, I mean, a charge with, what, a people's S16, I believe, his jaw is, that's, you know, I mean, it's not a whole lot standing up to that, except for another War Beast. And that was something I learned real quickly in the three or four games I played with Wrong Eye, was that they are fantastic against hordes, because there's so many living things out on the table. Against War Machine, not so much. If he could charge and, you know, be as excited about taking apart a Jack as he could about a Beast, he'd be great.
I could see that. Josh, moving on a little bit into kind of towards the game that we played, we brought, when we built our list, we built them with kind of separate goals in mind for our lessers. Mm-hmm. By that, I mean, you know, I went along the lines of, I'm going to use a lesser Fury Warlock and then use my lesser minions to supplement her basically Fury consumption ability.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of how Forsaken would, but not quite
right, the same way. Sure.
But you went with a higher Fury Warlock.
Yeah, I chose, well, in particular, I chose Kruger, specifically because his spell list has very little, if any, off the top of my head, circle-specific spells. Mm-hmm. So you can Lightning Tendrils, a minion, Beast, Warlock, whatever. So he, and Windstorm and whatnot will also affect them. So he was more of a generic caster. So I chose him for that, and that he was a 7, so that I could take some higher Fury Beasts. I only took 2 because they were both 4 Fury Beasts. But I wanted to see if I could maximize the amount of Fury on the table instead of shifting it, I guess. Is that a way to think of what you did? Take the Fury that you might have taken with a higher Fury Warlock and just shift it over to a minion Warlock?
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah. So I kept that instead of shifting off and augmented it, I guess, with minion Beasts.
I actually thought about building my list with Thagarosh instead and doing
that. I expected you to take Thagarosh, actually.
I was actually thinking about, because, yeah, Death Shroud, -2 strength.
When I was coming with the list, what's Dave going to take? Thagarosh was at the very top. And I was wrong.
Yeah. I thought about it, and I almost had, like, Thagarosh, 2 Carnivians, and Lessers, and maybe even Typhon.
Right.
But I didn't want to run that many Beasts. I don't like to go all Beasts, but, I mean, something like that could work, because, you know, normally not running all Beasts because you can't handle the Fury.
Mm-hmm.
And something like that, running all Beasts, you can, because you've got the Lessers there to help out.
Right.
Yeah. But I actually took Lilith instead. And her feat wasn't going to work on them, and you know her spell list wasn't really there to supplement the lessers. But I was hoping to see if I could kind of, just have more hard hitting stuff on the table that she couldn't control.
Mm-hmm.
So I filled up my list with like units too, so I didn't have Forsaken and other beast supplementing troops. You know, it kind of took out the Forsaken I would normally use and add in some more heavies.
So would you consider the Forsaken not necessarily an auto-include, but an almost auto-include typically?
If you're going to run a lot of beasts, you kind of have to.
Okay. So would you say that this gives you something new? Taking the minion beasts, you know, do away with the Forsaken almost all the time, you think?
Basically, if I could swap out a Forsaken and a lesser, or I'm sorry, a Forsaken and a light beast for one of these lesser pairs.
Mm-hmm.
For roughly the same cost, sure. Give or take. So if I need more of a punch, especially in melee, then the lesser Warlock and the Beast are going to fill the role a little bit better.
I don't play Legion, of course, but that sounds like it gives you a little bit of variety, and you're not really losing anything when you do that, it sounds like.
It depends, because, I mean, like I said, Lilith couldn't feed on him.
Sure, sure.
Whereas if I had, say, a Forsaken and a Nephilim soldier, I could have been feeding on the soldier, racing it upfield, and hitting a lot more.
Right.
Problem is, you know, it's only Poplar Strength 13 or 14. I think it's a 14 on the Nephilim, as opposed to, you know, like the 17 on the Gore or the 16 on the Gator.
Well, like Stu was saying, with Scorn being sort of inclusive in terms of faction abilities, is that the case for Legion? We talked about Thagarosh and Dark, what's this?
Deathshroud?
Deathshroud. So obviously that's an example of how it would affect minions, but you're saying it's typically in faction abilities?
The buffs are, the debuffs aren't. For example, I could put Chiller on a unit, run it near something, and then have a lesser benefit from lowering its defense.
Right.
Also, I thought about taking Saren and using Breaststealer, reducing defense, and therefore really giving, even like my lesser Warlocks could have been, you know, not Brian because he doesn't have an offensive spell, but Wrong Eye could have been throwing out his spells with a little bit more reliability against lower defense.
And even Rorschach's Gun getting a couple shots in.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, I think my buffs are very insular, but my debuff Warlocks have a wide enough variety of abilities that they can benefit from, or these Warlocks can benefit from them.
Sure, sure.
But I think Scorn, I mean, Scorn is it's a whole other issue because you can only collect Scorn souls on everything, right? Like Endless Special Guardians?
Yes, they do specifically say that.
So, I mean, you're giving up souls?
Mm-hmm. Possibly quite a few. I mean, that could be a whole unit of Praetorians or something, I imagine.
Well, he's probably replacing a beast, I would guess.
Probably, typically, yeah.
I mean, maybe if you don't want you need a melee punch, but you don't want your Titans for whatever reason. Or the thing is, you got Maul of Karn, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the trolls, I mean, Kalandra with her spell and the lessers inside of it.
That's pretty nasty.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty cool. Spells like that, that, again, debuff the enemy,
mm-hmm.
can work well. Like, a lot of the Animus also can be cast on non-trolls.
That's true.
Like the Pyre Troll. Far Strike.
Yeah, right. I mean, you see that with Alt Nash all the time.
You can Far Strike Rorsch.
Rorsch, yeah. Or even Brunn with his gun.
Sure. So, I mean, there are some decent ways to help him out. You typically think of the Troll Brick and the Creel Stone. You know, they're not going to get the benefit. But as you get stuff like more Cav-heavy Troll armies, especially with Horthol, you're not really worrying about trying to benefit everything from the Creel Stone anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, the same thing with Scorn. I mean, we're getting a lot of like leapy and jumpy and teleporty type stuff. They're not playing as in the brick as they used to, and maybe something like this is okay with that.
This is skipping around a little bit, so I apologize, but it just occurred to me we were talking about Far Strike and whatnot. Dahlia has no weapon.
That's true.
It's obvious from the model, I guess, but it just occurred to me, yeah, so...
She's literally like beating someone with that flute. That'd be hilarious.
Little pea shooter.
There you go.
Spit out little snake eggs.
Blowgun.
Oh, there you go. That would actually be kind of cool. Just don't breathe in. Could be bad times.
Do you ever see that Bugs Bunny? When he fights against the little pygmy guy? Pygmy guy tries to blowgun Bugs Bunny, and Bugs Bunny pops up and...
blows into it, yeah. That's a common animated tactic, yes. You know. Yeah.
Almost like the finger in the barrel.
Yes, yes. Or bending the barrel back for the guy who shoots.
That would work.
Or even, you've seen them do this. You stick the barrel in one rabbit hole, and the barrel comes up the other rabbit hole behind you. We could learn a little something from Bugs, folks.
Man, he'd be an awesome lesser warlock.
He would be.
Who would be his warbeast? Daffy?
Taz.
How about that too. I was going to say the big Yeti. Hey, have you seen those
ones? The Abominable Snowman.
Yeah, the Abominable Snowman.
I love him. Pet him, call him George.
Exactly, that guy. Yeah.
Sure. Anyway.
Yeah.
Okay.
Huge. That was way off topic.
As far as, I mean, the only War Machine armies that can take him right now, Retribution and Seer Forge, which we talked about. I think Dahlia, I like her the least of the four. I think because she's so frail, and the worm is limited in what it can do. It has some great maneuverability, but between being Serpentine and only having one attack, I want to say it's going to be good with the Retribution. But I really want to see what else they have.
Yeah, I'm wondering if they put them in there thinking, oh, she's an elf, so let's give us Retribution so people will have more of an a reason to buy Retribution when it first comes out. Like, oh, I already own this model. I may as well put it in a Retribution army. And then they may not use it later. But, you know, it gives them more things, more reason to buy Retribution when it does come out.
Could be.
I think.
I mean, someone owns them and an Nissan and a Holt. They could say, you know what? I could buy a Retribution Warlock and a couple of Warjacks and make an army.
Yeah, like I was saying last time, you can do, I mean, if you happen to have all this crap painted, you could just buy a few models and be ready for hardcore Gen Con. So,
as I recall, I believe she's actually listed to be a Retribution Partisan in Mark II.
Yeah, we don't know. We haven't seen her Mark II stats.
Yeah.
Well, I thought that they said it in the No Quarter. I could have sworn.
Could have been.
And if she's a partisan, that means she would be considered an in-faction model with the Retribution.
Right.
Which would definitely be help, at least from the spells we've seen from Vyros and Kaelissa.
Okay, so we're going to move on to our lists and kind of do our tactical discussion here.
Yep, let's do that.
Who's first?
You can go ahead.
All right, so we kind of mentioned our lists, little pieces from it here and there, but running down my list, what I took was Lilith, a pair of Shredders, a Tariff and a Seraph, R&B... Wrong Eye and Snapjaw, minimum swordsman in the unit attachment, four raptors, and striders in their unit attachment. And basically, my goal was to kind of get upfield using the striders as a kind of early strike and start taking stuff out, shooting early. We have Wrong Eye and Snapjaw doing submerge and go upfield relatively safely, give or take. And on top of that, we have the Tariff that can walk up and dig in. So they could form like a little, well, two medium base and one large base. Not really a wall, but that's what I'm looking for. But just kind of like a defensive block as they headed upfield. Counterblast on the Tariff, I'd use it if I got the chance, but really it kind of depends.
What triggers that again?
If you end your movement within 6 inches of him.
He can take an attack?
Yes. At that model.
Right.
On top of that, I've got basically 6, 7, 8, 12 weapon masters. and the army, so they got a good, decent melee punch. Mm-hmm. And Rogue and Snapjaw were there. I didn't really have a Rorsch and Brian were there. I didn't really have a design purpose for them. It was just we wanted to try all the lessers.
Right.
I did okay putting them out on the flank. Again, you know, kind of Rorsch can shoot on the way in, hopefully take out two things. Mm-hmm. And on that turn, if you really need to, drop diversionary tactics, move both him and Brian upfield, and then Brian can charge.
Yeah.
Both of the minions I had in my list had a way of increasing their charge range between Snapjaws charging something that's been hurt and Brian getting diversionary tactics from Rorsch. It gave him a surprisingly decent threat range.
Mm-hmm.
So that was my list in general. Obviously, Lil's feet wasn't going to affect him, and I had actually counted on using my own stuff for the kill. I had a Seraph that I didn't want to overexpose, kind of left it back. And hopefully between the Seraph and Lil, I would be able to finish the job after the lesser minions took out enough of the army for me to get there.
Mm-hmm. All right, and on my side, I took Circle. I had Kruger. Along with him, his beats were Megalith and a Shadowhorn Satyr. I also had Lug and Brun and Dahlia and Scarith. I also took a pair of Sentry Stones, a unit of Druids with the Overseer, and 8 Blood Trackers. I had deployed the Sentry Stones, I guess, in the middle, not even quite to their extent, because I was hoping that, and with all of your eyeless sight, I know I've seen you take out my Sentry Stones way too fast before, so I tried to keep them back a little bit. Even in the end, I didn't even get to use them too much. Either the mannequins were off just being targets for lightning, or you had destroyed the Sentry Stones. But they helped a little bit. They held off some of the infantry due to being targets. Megalith, he was sort of in the middle, and the Shadowhorn and Kruger were all sort of bunched up near the edge of a forest. You had your Striders on my left, and so I didn't want you to run up and just kill everything you could in turn one. So I had the Druids and the Overseer also directly behind the forest, letting them move through it in the next turn to shoot your Striders a little bit. On my right, I had the Blood Trackers. They were opposite your Raptors, who they had preyed. That actually never really came into effect too much. They ended up using prey in melee because you just run up right in their faces. So that was kind of a pain.
The first turn I kept my Raptors back a little bit as they moved upfield, but I also had the Strider unit attachment get nearby and blow the Trumpet of Doom to keep them from ambuscading, right, to basically buy myself a turn.
Yeah, absolutely. So that dropped my ambuscade that turn. In fact, I think, did I only ambuscade once the entire game?
You did twice.
Twice. I know the last time was at Wrong Eye.
And then the Seraph.
The Seraph, that's true. So, yeah, actually, you were able to pin down the Blood Trackers pretty well for the most of the game. I did get those couple ranges off. But the Druids, they ended up moving through the woods and trying to counter the Striders. And Kruger stayed back in, I guess, my quadrant of the board most of the game. He was up behind a wall for a little while to help his defense. But how were you trying to take down Kruger? You had a couple of runs on him.
I was basically biding my time while I was playing with my lessers for a little bit of the game.
Mm-hmm.
Really, what it comes down to is trying to have a little feet and shoot him, unfortunately. Right. I mean, get the extra die to attack. And if I could get the swordsman up there, you were behind a wall, but if I had the abbot around, they could charge over it.
Mm-hmm.
And that would have been my two ideal ways of doing it.
Right.
My Striders, like you said, they couldn't really shoot the Druids between Windstorm and being in the forest and that kind of stuff. They weren't going to do much. I think they CRA'd one turn and killed one guy.
Right.
And after that, I just said, forget it, and they actually charged in the melee. And they proceeded to go all Ginsu and killed 5 Druids in 2 turns.
Yeah.
3 of them did.
True. And, you know, I had put up their clouds, and then as I always do, I immediately then subsequently cast Windstorm, which blew their clouds away. So that didn't help me any.
Yeah.
That's not the first time I've done that.
Yeah. But, you know, the Striders couldn't really... I mean, they weren't incubi delivery devices. I didn't have any incubi. So they were actually in there trying to mix it up and do some damage.
Right.
And they did okay. I mean, they got in melee and they tied up your Druids. And,
right.
And even if they hadn't killed a bunch, that would have done something. It would have kind of pinned them in the corner, at least.
Sure, it did. I mean, they could barely move around. Mm-hmm. And even when they did try to do something, it failed. Mm-hmm. So you were able to neutralize them pretty well, I thought. It was kind of frustrating, actually.
Yeah, my goal was you had Lug and Brun with Kruger and the Druids, and they were on their own.
Mm-hmm.
And I was going to send Brian in. He had taken like 1 point of damage. And basically I sent him in on a... I was able to walk up there because I get the attack on...
Oh, that's right. You were beating the crap out of Lug.
And I wanted to try and kill him because I knew him and Brun could be dangerous.
Mm-hmm. Well, you got very close. You took him down to 5 points.
Yeah. So I took him out and Rorsch, you know, just shot some people. Just trying. He shot him first to get some attacks on him.
Mm, right.
That was setting up for an assassination attempt, which wound up almost working with the little diversionary tactics
right.
maneuver. I mean, that extra movement, that's really handy. Mm-hmm. The other attempt was I was going to feed on Lilith at the end of the game. I had Lilith left. You had Kruger and a few other models.
Yeah, they were off on the side. They weren't. Right. Maybe the two butt truckers I have left may have been a threat to her, but everything else wasn't.
And you had no beasts for you either.
I had the Megalith left.
Oh, that's right. You did. You had the Megalith left. And I was going to try to shoot him, the Interruption of Spines him, and shoot him again because it was the only way to get three damage rolls because he had one transfer.
Right.
And I missed.
Yeah.
Pretty much everything. So it's like, yeah, well, that didn't work. What really hosed my Seraph from getting in position was when you feed it on him second turn.
Yeah, that was bad. It caught the Tariff and the Seraph.
And they frenzied on each other.
Yeah.
And that wouldn't have been a big deal as far as the damage done, because I can heal them, but they just couldn't get in position after that.
Right. And then I just left that ring there, the AoE, and the Tariff eventually frenzied again, I think. Is that right?
No, they both made it.
Did they? Something, I think, your Seraph eventually frenzied on a Shredder in a subsequent round after I'd moved the AoE.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that one particular AoE of his feet really helped me out a lot. The other two clear out some models, but you know, they disappear after round. So I lightninged a few things. I know you hated to see the lightning, everybody does, but I knew you're going to have a hordes of infantry. And so I was able to use that a couple of rounds to get rid of some things, although I think I only rolled like three additional models once or twice. And you took out Megalith Spirit, like you said, with Voodoo Doll
from
Snapjaw, and that actually hurt me a lot because not only did I stupidly move Megalith out of my control area, causing Kruger to cut himself for six, and he had even cut himself for one a previous turn, I think. So that really took out... No, my Fury management just went to hell right there. So even taking out the Spirit on the model without even damaging it was huge in this game, at least. I did have Scareth in the end, but he was in the back, and he tried to crit consume Rorsch and fail on that. Scareth was sort of a backup piece for me. He concentrated on a couple Raptors, and I think he tried to eat a Shredder at one point.
Yeah.
And he killed the Shredder. That's where I killed the Shredder, trying to crit it. Brun and Lug, like you were saying, they were mixed up on my left, trying to not die from Brine. Lug ended up having to spend a couple Fury healing Brun, which I found out, or healing Lug, which was a huge loss. Because I had to spend one or two, but one or two out of three is huge.
Yeah.
So, and I was able to use the rest of it to try to wail on Brine, and I still wasn't able to kill him. Taking out, I think this brings up a point, taking out an aspect on a minion beast, if you have to heal it, that's huge compared to a regular warlock, I think.
That's true. That's kind of like the whole splitting your beasts up thing that I was kind of going for is,
mm-hmm.
you know, normally if you have a bunch of beasts and they get damaged, well, your warlock has to heal them all.
Right.
In this case, they don't.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it does limit what your lesser can do, though.
Right, right. But yeah, like I was saying, Lug, the bear, he was hurting. And so I had to heal him one to give him back six, but at that point he only had six life. He did something to Brian, maybe damaged him a little, but you took out Lug the next turn. So at that point, I just had Scareth and Dahlia in the back meandering around, not doing too much, and we were losing models left and right at that point. So I don't think the end game with the warlocks were really what we were looking at. We were just trying to see what the beasts were doing.
Mm-hmm.
But overall, I was happy. I thought they did a good job holding up. It was really holding up against each other. So although your Snapjaw took care of my Shadowhorn pretty quickly.
Yeah, he actually got some decent rolls and was able to take him out.
That's actually kind of a good pair. Shadowhorn's 12, 17. You charged him, so he was 14, but you hit him, so no big deal there. But they're about equal strength, I guess. Although I guess Snapjaw probably has a lot more boxes, I think.
I don't know offhand how many.
So Snapjaw might have a slight advantage, but still, that was a pretty good trade, I guess. Well, I shouldn't say trade because the Shadowhorn didn't do anything.
Yeah.
But it brought Snapjaw up where I could deal with him. I think I threw him back with Megalith or something.
Yeah, you threw him. You had Megalith and Lug
mm-hmm.
throwing the lesser beasts at their rat masters.
Yeah, that's exactly what I did, actually. So, I mean, I didn't have much else to do because I wasn't able to kill Brian, and I had to eliminate him at least for a turn, so I just had to chuck him back. And same thing with Snapjaw. So
you think about tactics of playing these lists, though, as in general, not just for this purpose of playing against each other.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you've got some lessers here, like me. I've got Lilith, and I've got two lessers. I'm trying to get the most out of them.
Right.
So what do you think we got strength-wise in this list?
In mine?
Well, which one are you going to start with?
Oh, well, I'll go with yours.
Okay.
You won the initiative roll.
Okay. There was an initiative roll?
Yeah, you won. You went first.
Oh, that's right. This carries over from the game.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. Well, I was much happier about Rorsch and Brian when they first came out before, like I mentioned, scoring got all their Pathfinder stuff now, mm-hmm. especially against the Circle. I think they're really good at holding stuff up against people without Pathfinder because right. you can throw down a thing that prevents charges. The
Pigpen?
Pigpen?
I thought Pigpen was the... Yeah, Pigpen.
Yeah.
Pig Farm, that's the
that's what I was thinking of. Which, so that, I mean, that gives them a little bit of defensive bonus. You can't charge through it.
Right.
That doesn't make as big of a deal anymore. Now you kind of have to rely on the fact that Rorsch has a gun and has the diversionary tactics to get the extra movement necessary to get the jump. Mm-hmm. Because if you get jumped, well, if they don't take out Brian, he's got pain response. But if they do, then Rorsch is pretty much screwed.
Right.
And vice versa. If you lose Rorsch, then Brian runs off the table.
Yeah, I mean, I was able to take out both of your minion warlocks and both of yours. Wait, no, I take that back. Did I make Brian go wild? I did.
You eventually. Did, because I went offensive with my beasts. I had to get them right up in your face.
Yeah.
Especially because I was losing two of my beasts to frenzies. They were way out of the game. So, yeah, I had to send them in there, which meant getting my lesser warlocks close.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a bit of a risk.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, you got to be so careful. And they were able to do something in this game, at least, so that was good. But otherwise, if you can take out that minion warlock early and make them go wild, they're gone.
Right.
Because I guess we should specify the wild rule, specify that they have to be in a friendly faction control area. Mm-hmm. If you're a minion warlock and your warlock's gone, you're not in any, you can never be in a friendly faction. And, you know, I was talking to people yesterday, a lot of people never even see the wild rule come up, because typically it doesn't happen in a war warlock game.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
So, and I looked it up just as curiosity, and maybe this is obvious to everybody else. You know, if a beast goes friendly, if it wanders into a control area, it doesn't immediately not go wild. It's still wild. It has to pass a command check. I did not realize that.
Awesome.
So.
And a lot of beasts have low command.
Exactly, yeah. So
you got to get your warlock close enough to pass off the command, basically.
Right.
But in general, you know, besides the lessers, I mentioned the tariff and the Rung Iron Snapjaw kind of advancing.
Mm-hmm.
I had enough swordsmen and raptors that I wanted to just give a bunch of threats on the table.
Right.
Because they're all fast weapon masters and they can hit hard. I mean, they have very frail armor, but, you know, it's basically threat overwhelming.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not trying to buff a single unit to do the job themselves. It's more of, well, you got to pick which direction you can stop it from coming from, and it's going to come from the other way.
Right.
So it worked out okay. I still have Lilith and the Seraph, which I think is enough to do most lighter warlock assassinations. Someone who's camping on a ton of focus, it's not going to finish them off.
Yeah.
But it's got a good job of taking off someone who's got maybe two or three mm-hmm. with some good rolls.
Right.
So that's what they're for. And that was my plan. I think it's okay. I think it's not the best list in the world, but mm-hmm. You know, Rorsch and Brian, Rung Iron Snapjaw can certainly cause some havoc while everything else is running up the field. And even if I lose them early, I've still got stuff left.
Sure.
So, what do you think?
Well, I mean, it wasn't easy. I knew Rorsch and Brian. I'd seen you play them before, and I'd played against you at least one time before. So the diversionary tactic was something I had to worry about. Fortunately or unfortunately, whichever way you want to think about it, I didn't really consider it too much. So I say unfortunately because, well, you were able to use it against me. But fortunately, because it didn't really determine what I was doing. But then again, I guess I put myself in a position to be a victim of it. And as you said, you know, one or two good rolls, even you were rolling below average whenever you're doing that behind my back diversionary tactic thing, mm-hmm. you would have killed me. But didn't happen. Mostly due to Skyborn.
Yeah.
Which, of course, Kruger always has up.
Basically, it negated my backstrike.
Exactly, yeah. Like I was saying earlier, Kruger has a lot of non-circle specific things that helps out the army, which he was able to grant to the minions. You know, Windstorm against a shooty army, which yours wasn't even completely shooty as some Legion armies might be. You know, you didn't have any archers, for example, but you had the Raptors and the Striders and even Lilith herself.
And the...
Tariff and the Seraph.
Seraph, yeah. Tariff, yeah. Not so much. I mean...
Oh, that's true.
I mean, he lobbed an AoE at your Bloodtrackers,
yeah.
But
he's still
not really...
Him out, but yeah. But yeah, you did have quite a bit of shooty, but... So Windstorm giving the armor and defense buff to everybody was a huge help. Megalith, I was hoping to get more in melee with him, which I guess he did at the end. But by that time, you'd taken out a spirit, or effectively taken out a spirit. He was
able
just
to hit, for the one turn. But yeah.
Right. So no boost.
He still wrecked a Tariff.
He did, yeah.
Then again, the Seraph helped him out a lot on that.
True. But at that point, he was out of my control area, so Kruger had to cut himself six times that next turn. That wasn't cool. So I had him down to 9 life, unfortunately. The Sentry Stones didn't do a whole lot. They may have done better if I had been better with them, but, you know, you ignore the invisibility. That helps. And if you can get close enough, your Weapon Master or Swordsman just beat the
crap
out of
it. At one point, I was basically tying up your Blood Trackers with my Raptors. Mm-hmm. And at one point, my Raptors, the one that was, you had killed two of the four.
Right.
The one that was far back actually charged in, and the one that was engaged with about four of them stepped back and turned around and attacked the Sentry Stone,
mm-hmm.
and then afterwards moved back into base to block them all off. Yeah.
It's like, yeah, I'll be back in 1 second. I gotta kill this stone.
Yeah, wait here.
Yeah, and I did. Yeah, so things didn't go completely to plan there, but I'm usually scared to death of your raptors. I mean, they're bad to begin with, and you're really good with them, and so I knew I had to be careful. So I figured I'd put my stealthy guys on the same side.
I love raptors.
I know you do. They're such great models.
I know. They're actually great. They're good sculpts, except for, you know, you mentioned the gap, the gator gap.
Mm-hmm.
The raptors have some pretty gnarly gaps where their head meets their body.
Oh, yeah.
Which is normally fur. So I had to sculpt all that.
You're talking about the Ulk
head? Yeah.
Okay.
But, yeah, I love the models. I think they're great on the table.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, they're really good. Yay, raptors.
Yeah. I had another little theme here, and that's with the Shadowhorn and Scareth, because they can both leap. I was hoping to get in there, not necessarily leap past your lines, but just get that long distance to throw something or to crit consume it or whatever. I did fail to do something that I was planning on doing, mostly because I was scared to death of Kruger dying. I wanted to bump his defense up, and I didn't have the Fury. And that was that I wanted to put Lightning Tendrils on either Lugenbrunn or Scareth, specifically Scareth, because he already has reach. Mm-hmm. I figured that walk 6, leap 5, kill something 4 inches away, you know, yeah. 15 inches or whatever. I wanted to do that, but it didn't happen. But again, you know, putting him out there like that, that's bad news for Dahlia, because you take her out, game over.
Yep.
113 points, I think it is.
Yeah.
107. So I didn't want to risk that too much. If it happens, though, it would have been nice. The Druids had their devouring, which didn't help too much. But yeah, in terms of what Kruger could do for the army, I think he's a pretty good minion warlock. He's a great warlock to begin with, but... what he can do for the armies in general is good. So that's why I chose him.
Yep. I think, you know, we talked about the strengths of the armies,
mm-hmm.
but I mean, weakness wise, well, the two lessers on both sides of the table,
right?
The warlocks themselves are the weak point. You have the strongest and the weakest of the four.
Yeah, that's true.
But you kept Dahlia way in the back, and there was enough out there that I couldn't concentrate on her again. Mm-hmm. I honestly think that the Frenzy and Seraph and Tariff made a huge impact on the game. Because,
oh, absolutely. You lost the beast for a round and
right,
a half.
Right. I mean, if I had cleared out some Blood Trackers, I probably could have gotten to Dahlia, like, the turn before the Tariff died.
Probably. You could. I mean, you could. I mean, she's a 16 defense, but you could potentially shot her. Maybe maybe use the little feet if you needed to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, taking that, I think if the Seraph had not Frenzied, even if the Tariff had still Frenzied on the Seraph, if the Seraph survived, the Blood Trackers, you would have... possibly cause them to run, because one of them did run eventually.
Right.
But yeah, taking out even a couple of them would have made a big difference.
But I mean, the only point I'm really getting at is the mm-hmm. fact that, I mean, Dahlia survived for you because you were able to keep her safe.
Right.
Part of that buy was making my stuff Frenzy. But sure. Again, I mean, if you can get to her,
mm-hmm.
Like Widowmakers or Kel.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
If I had gone that way with my Striders instead of mm-hmm. to the right flank, which I did, you know, there's a lot of things that could have potentially hurt her a lot.
Yeah. Well, yeah, she's very frail. And that's why I advocate, from my limited experience, keeping her back as a second, maybe even third wave if you need to.
Depending on what's out there, it might be good to keep her with the Swamp Gobbers and a cloud in front of her.
Oh, yeah.
Instead of your Warlock, if
sure.
there's place for your Warlock. Like, your Warlock can, say, find himself behind a wall.
I can see that.
If you can keep your Warlock safe otherwise, then yeah, I mean, get something in front of her, keep her a little bit more protected.
Mm-hmm. Even deviation will
yeah.
her out.
Lugenbrunn, man, I don't think they can afford to just kind of run up as a spearhead.
Mm-hmm.
I think they could maybe make the first attack, but they can't be like the first thing your opponent attacks.
Yeah.
I could see you running them behind, like, for example, Ravagers. Because they're all Pathfinders.
Yeah, expecting the Ravagers to die,
or even,
probably.
Wolves.
Yeah, I mean, Lug is a small base, of course. Having the big base in the back sometimes can be a liability. But yeah, I think all these guys need support. They're not going to run on their own.
Yeah, definitely.
Not well, at least. So yeah,
as it should be.
Sure, absolutely. You wouldn't expect them to. They would have to be something. They'd probably be an imbalance if they could run by themselves effectively.
Yeah.
But yeah, I agree. Taking them as a second wave behind some wolves or something like that. Or if they are first, have something that protects them. Either maybe a Swamp Grabber Cloud if you can, or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that your list has less weaknesses than mine, simply because your Warlock can do more in terms of supporting everyone, and is very hard to kill.
Well, specifically, he's supporting in a way that directly affects how your guys did their stuff,
mm-hmm.
ranged, effectively, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Being able to buff myself against your range helped. And you didn't happen to have anything that was preventing my magic, and so that didn't help you at all.
Right. But, I mean, I could see, I mean, we talk about, like, the quote-unquote stereotypical Kruger list with World Wardens mm-hmm. and whatever else, and Bone Grinders.
Right.
You do the same thing with Lessers.
Sure.
You could have Kruger and some World Wardens and some Lessers.
Yeah, I think that would be pretty effective. Clear out what you need to with the lightning or whatever. Give something else a couple extra inches of reach and go to town.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, the weakness on my side is, again, I have no faction heavies.
Mm-hmm.
You're also scrapped on Fury. If you can take one of your beasts out, you become hurt.
Yes.
I have a little bit more flexibility because if I have two Shredders.
Right.
But, you know, all my troops are frail. Anything ignores defense starts ripping through them like chain lightning. So,
right.
I don't know. Would you say when you face against an army that has Lesser in it, would you say that the Lesser Warlock is one of your top targets?
Absolutely. Well, unless maybe it's Dahlia. But in the other three, absolutely. Because you can take out 100 plus points by killing what is essentially a pretty frail model, no matter which one it is. Maybe not Lug if he's doing the Stonehold spell, but otherwise, if you can pray it with something or CRA it to death or whatever you need to do, absolutely, I would take it. I would make it a priority.
Wait, what about you? You played with him. Did you play against James?
No, I didn't get a chance to play against James, unfortunately, because he was running it, so we had to wait for tables to be left unoccupied, but I was pretty busy. I only got to play with Wrong Eye and Snapjaw, mainly because I haven't ponied up for Rorsch and Brine here just yet, but sounds like maybe I ought to consider that as an investment in the future. With Scorn, I ran in with E. Morgul because I figured E. Morgul would just do his thing and would be the best to kind of work within the confines of the other models. You know, because he can just go ahead and do his thing, run through, try and assassinate a few places, and then Wrong Eye and Snapjaw can, you know, do their thing, and both are just kind of helping general chaos and destruction.
I could see Wrong Eye using the Crazy Eye spell to, for example, move a beast so maybe Morgul gets line of sight.
Yep, and I did consider it. I didn't do it because, as we said, it's random movement.
Yeah.
I didn't want to make a situation worse by accidentally trying to make it better.
Yeah.
They were quite useful in getting a few things out of the way, moving a few things around. I remember in a game against Jeremy, I, with their help, I actually pulled off an attempted assassination run 14 inches away from Morgul. It was longer. It was 16 inches away from Morgul because we had measured it out. It was beyond ridiculous because it was, I don't know. I had to cast Death Warrant, the Prey spell, on Typhon so I can get the 2 inches of movement, not necessarily towards Typhon, so I could teleport forward and then charge for an extra 2 inches towards Ethagrosh.
Mm-hmm.
The problem was, after I spent all that fury, I was kind of tapped.
Yeah.
So I pulled off this amazing thing, and then when I got there, I was kind of like,
Oops.
Yeah. And what happened to Morgul after that, Stu? Did he die?
Let me guess.
Eviscerated.
Let me guess. Epic Thagrosh had a Harrier, and then...
I basically hit him, did enough damage on the charge attack
to give him the beast.
Let out the Harrier that gave him true strength and just basically wiped him out.
Ooh, that's ugly.
It was pretty funny.
So did you like Wrong Eye Snapshot on your list?
It was kind of nice because the player, you know, my opponent was just sitting there going, yeah, Scorn does Scorn things, you know, Scorn is Scornish. And then it was like, from out of nowhere, a gator! And, you know, it's like, oh shit!
Were people targeting him specifically? You know, Dave, you were asking whether or not it would be a priority. Were people making him a priority?
No, because I'd either submerge them or they would be wrecking face.
Couldn't make him a priority.
I think it's going to be, I don't know, I think that in communities that don't see him much, I think the Lessers are going to have a pretty strong impact up front.
Just because they're not used to it. This is a sound, but they're ignorant of what they do, I guess.
Yeah. You know? Well, in the technical sense, insulting sense. Yeah,
right,
actually,
right.
No, I see what you're saying. Right. Yeah. And that's true. I mean, even around here, I think that
new stuff gets targeted first because when they see it,
you don't want to find out.
Oh shit! I don't know what this gator can do. Could this gator read my mind? Maybe. I don't know. Let's kill it. You know what I mean?
That's true. I mean, and the thing is, maybe it becomes a bullet magnet. Maybe it draws attention away from your other stuff.
Which, if you happen to know it's going to happen, use that to your advantage, too.
But, yeah.
I certainly did, because, I mean, Snapjaw's got maximum body bubbles. He has the maximum amount that
bubbles.
War Beast can have.
Bubbles.
Bubbles, hit points, I don't know what we want to call them. Boxes.
His life spiral is ginormous.
His body? Hell yeah. Dude. Mine's not that great, but anyway, that's not the point.
In general,
point is, it's more bubbles, which means more damage, which means you're dedicating more resources to taking him out that you're not doing something else.
And especially if you've got, like, the Epic Morgul, like, if you have a combo set up, like, if, for example, Ryas and Warmongers, the Epic Morgul and Soul Wards, or Extollers, and that sort of thing. If you've got anything built up around that, maybe you've got a Seraph, a Thagrash, and a Harrier, you know, to slipstream and do stuff, whatever. It's a threat that's completely separate from the combo that your opponent's got to either decide to take out your linchpin pieces or deal with the lessers. Assuming that your lesser is in a position to actually do something. I mean, you can't just say automatically the lesser is a threat.
Right.
Assuming that it can do something, yeah. It basically makes them split their attention. And as a Legion player, that's how I play a lot of times.
Mm-hmm.
Not so much with the Protectorate. Well, sort of Protectorate. They're just kind of the slow, unexhaustible advance. But, you know, threat overload, I think, is a very valid tactic in War Machine Hordes because there's a lot of stuff that can do it.
Sure.
Lord knows that's how I play Krix.
Yeah. Just all those Arknotes spring with the Coven.
I was referring to, you know, shoving down wave after wave of Mechanithralls.
You like your
And then
your
you
big
finally just
fists.
In there panting, all right, I've killed all your Mechanithralls and Biothralls, you know, your Brute Thralls. And it's like, okay, well, here, have a Biothrall for a reward. This isn't much of a reward. No, it's not.
Yeah. Is there any specific additional advice you think we need to give someone who wants to play Lessers?
I would say proxy them a little bit beforehand to find out which ones you like, which ones fit your play style, and then make a purchase decision based off that. Because if you don't plan on using them all the time, you probably don't want to buy them just on a whim.
They are maybe a little expensive.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say there is much cause to purchase all four, certainly. Unless, I mean, there's a very specific set of circumstances that says all four should be purchased. One is your James.
Where you play trolls, I mean.
The other is that, yeah, you play trolls.
If you really want to.
The third is you have
a
lot of money and time on your hands.
That also.
Yeah.
And fortunately, James is all three of those things. He is James, he is a troll player, and he does have an absurd amount of
time
and money
apparently
that he's willing to dedicate to this hobby.
I like to see him write an article on the blogging network about how he used them and what he thought of them in the Legacies of Maestro.
Are we calling him out?
I'm calling him out.
Wow. Why does he
right
write
now
more, period?
Does he listen to this? I don't know.
Well,
I guess we'll find out.
He will one way or another. If he doesn't listen to this, he will inevitably hear scuttlebutt from the rest of the community about it.
Hey, any of the bloggers on IABN, I'd like to hear more about the lessers.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
We should give assignments every week.
Homework.
I want a 500-page essay on Snapjaw.
Yeah.
And the history of Snapjaw.
You know what? I
want to hear why bacon is the best meat in the world in 500 words or less.
Mike was saying it's the best meat candy.
It's a candy
it's
of meat.
Candy
it's a candy
of
bar of meat. Bacon's candy bar of meat.
But anyway, yes, we don't give assignments to people. Right. But I would actually like to, you know, on the forums or whatnot,
yeah.
I would like to, because I don't think they get played that much. I'd like to see more experience with them get shared.
Sure.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll put some up on mine. I should write a tactical article.
That. Yeah, that'd be good.
I will. There's my...
I assign you that, Dave.
It might take a little while, but I'll get on that.
That's all right.
I've got one up on Thagrash and Raptors.
Yeah, so those.
So.
Do you really want an article about the history of Rongai and Snapjaw? Because, I mean, I'll go off topic and talk about how they freed slaves and then went and conquered Mars and stuff.
He does have the top hat.
See? Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
You just need to do...
And how does he know? A little bird told him.
Wow. All right.
It's terrible.
Well, I would like to see you write a little story about Snapjaw, about Rongai, and integrate all the cool things in his model into the story. See how many you can name. I think that'd be interesting. I think you could do it well.
But that's an interesting challenge.
I think the Rongai Snapjaw lurkerism.
What?
Oh, yeah.
Lurkerisms are what we call the caricatures he writes.
Right. I thought you meant something about lurker.
I put up at the local game store every once in a while. Yeah. I'm having a bad day.
And when are we going to get those? When are we going to get those Iron Agenda cartoons?
Oh, yeah.
I liked your Helldiver one. Or it was a Stalker, even.
Starting to sweat a little.
I can't remember.
You mean the
you
one where
that,
someone was shaking in their
hand? Yeah, shaking
can
his
you, can you go home tonight and draw us a alligator head with even a monocle and a top hat and some, you know, and give us something funny?
Yeah, Gentleman Gators.
There you go.
Now I want to play an IKRPG session where I'm playing a Gatorman.
That would be an awesome model to use if you had
man
a Gatorman.
Wow. That's Gentleman Gators Investigations. We're based out of Corvus.
When we do the follow-up to your campaign,
uh-huh,
I might have to retire D's. I might have to retire them and play a Gator.
That'd be cool.
You're so great.
And I would have luggage.
Made out of your uncle? I don't know.
A it's like manservant.
Yeah.
Because all those right. two don't get along.
We're way off topic.
I think we are.
I think we should shut this down.
Let's shut this down.
Okay. So that's our thoughts on lessers and lists we ran. Any closing thoughts on them?
Not a fan.
I think lessers are a great way of doing junior. Let's say that.
Yeah.
Because it's not faction oriented. Mm-hmm. There's not anything as broken as Arcane Shield, all of them.
Right.
and it's not just one faction. I mean, by yep. making four of them, everybody has access to them.
Right.
And it also lets them throw in unique beasts.
Everybody has access to at least two of them, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, not everyone has
everything. No, but I'm saying, you know, you still have variety.
You still have exactly. We're not all as cool as the trolls, but
right.
yeah.
Apparently trolls needed them.
Yeah, but I think it was really cool. I liked it a lot.
Yep.
Well, I think it's fluff-wise. I mean, trolls are desperate for help in the fluff.
Sure.
You know, I don't hear them getting played much. I'm going to be really interested to see what kind of feedback that they the Private Press has in order to make a Mark II version of them.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I don't know. We'll see.
They're already pretty cool.
They are.
You don't get cooler than voodoo shaman alligator men who are fancy.
Hello. Pig smoking a cigar with a lever action rifle whose best friend's name's Bacon.
That is pretty good.
That's what I'm saying is they may not be the best tabletop pieces. They may not be a Dracoon, but
they're
just
cool.
So amazing to even think about the concept. You're hard pressed not to play them a few times.
Yeah, that actually does bring up a point. I talked about simplifying stuff in Mark II. Do you think these guys are going to lose some of their cool flavor? I mean, I hope to God not.
Yeah.
Because that would ruin the feel of them.
We're just looking at the back of the cards here. There's a lot of text here, and they got rid of a lot of text on War Machine, so there's no telling what they're going to get.
Well, not on all the jacks, though. Some of the jacks, yes. Like the Death Jack, sure. Yeah. The Reckoner, not really.
Not really.
And realize how much of that text is taken up by, okay, this is a Warlock, but not really. Here's what we mean by that.
Yeah, that's something they get rid of. And they could also, maybe the bonds will be a little simpler. Maybe the bonds is something they'll gut, maybe.
Could be.
I mean, I can definitely see ways to simplify it. I just pray that they don't simplify it to the point where the real flavor of them is lost.
Well, let's look at it this way. Did Junior really change too much?
No.
He didn't.
He lost the spell he never used.
Sure. So yeah, I think the minions...
Disruptor.
Sure. Yeah. So the minions will be kind of... The Warlocks, I think they'll be okay.
Yeah.
The Beasts, that's probably where the danger is.
Probably. I mean, they're not going to get rid of the one spell or the one or two spells the Warlocks
right.
have. So
they might change and make them more useful.
Yeah.
But yeah, we'll see. Cool. But anyway, I think that's a valid concern. We'll see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
In about, 4 months? 5 months?
Yeah, January. Around the first of the year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So.
Right. Was that it for today?
Yeah, I think so.
Right.
Thanks for coming, Stu.
Thank you, Stu.
Thank you.
Rock out with your gator out. And we'll see everybody later.
Bye. To contact Iron Agenda by email, send your message to contact@ironagenda.com. To send a voicemail, dial 206-333-0983. Iron Agenda is copyright 2009 by its hosts and released under the Creative Commons Attribution No Derivative Works 3.0 United States license. Opening and closing music provided courtesy of Joshua Salter.